Hello, everyone. I am art prof teaching artist Lauren Welch. This is Clara Liu, and welcome to our stream. I am here today to talk with you guys about Beeple and the future of NFTs. Have you guys heard of an NFT before? Please tell us about it in the chat. And while you're doing that, if your studio habits need a kick in the butt, Art Prof has everything you need: tutorials, critiques, and professional development. Now, this might be really foreign material for you guys. It certainly was for me. I don't know about you, Clara. So can we go over some basic terms first? Where should we start?
Well, let's just start with Beeple. He's the reason why there's been this media circus around the story. So let me just tell you guys exactly what happened and tell us in the chat who here has been keeping up with the news and reading about this and who here has no idea what we're talking about, whichever one it is. So Beeple is a guy whose real name is Mike Winkelmann. And recently he had a piece that was sold by Christie's, which is an auction house in New York City, and it sold for $69.3 million, which is the highest price an artwork has ever been auctioned for, behind just David Hockney and Jeff Koons. For a living artist. The thing that's unique about this sale is that for Christie's, this was the first sale of a solely digital artwork. And on top of that, Christie's accepted payment in Ether, which is cryptocurrency. And so the piece that Beeple created was a JPEG that was called Every Days, the First 5,000 Days. And basically Beeple has been doing a drawing daily for 13 years. It's done in many different media. He started first in pen and paper. Eventually he segued to cinema 4D. And this is the image that's sold at Christie's, which is all of those images from 13 years. Lauren, do you think you can sum up in a nutshell what's going on with this NFT thing, which, by the way, stands for non-fungible tokens?
Non-fungible tokens. Well, I think that we should just explain what that even means first, what that word means. So a token is object, currency, piece of money. Think of something like Bitcoin, for instance. So this is a token that is on the blockchain. Oh my God, we might have to describe what a blockchain is. Anyways, but the non-fungible part, fungible means to exchange or to be interchangeable. And so non-fungible means that it can't be exchanged. It is unique. There is only one like it. So basically, a non-fungible token is kind of like a little signature that is attached to a digital object. And by digital object, I mean a JPEG, a video, an MP3, things like that, things that you can find on the internet. So while there are, you can make many, many copies of a JPEG and share it everywhere, we can see Beeple's images anywhere and everywhere. They're all accessible to us. Only one of these, or only a few of these, have a non-fungible token attached to it. And what's really cool about this token is that it has your name on it as the person that owns this object, but it also has a history, a public history, of other people who have owned this object. So it's kind of a cool thing, a cool new way of having some kind of ownership over digital artwork. Did I get that right, Clara? Did I hit all the details there?
Yep. The way I would sum it up, you guys, what it comes down to is the NFT makes digital art unique and sellable. That's the difference. Because before the NFT, there was no public ledger record of Lauren owns this digital image. That wasn't there before. You would just get the image and nobody really kept track of who owned what. This is a really big game changer. I just think that Beeple threw open this gigantic world. It's been here for a long time. Yeah. NFTs are not new. They've been around since 2017. Who here has seen CryptoKitties? This is basically digital Beanie Babies. So you can buy this one unique digital kitty. This sounds like something you would do, Lauren.
I know. I can't believe I've never heard of this before. I would love one of these.
We have a question from Dara, who says, what was the size of the piece sold at Christie's? I believe I read an article that said it was 21,000 pixels. I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but it was a big JPEG. It wasn't small.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed about these NFTs is when people drop them, and it seems to be called a drop when you release a bunch of things with NFTs attached to them, they come in a collection. They're not always that way. You can have a singular thing, but I've seen these big artists release collections of images that you can buy where you get the collection with the NFTs on them.
Dara is asking, how is the NFT token embedded? Is it in the metadata of the image? I don't know the tech side of it, but basically they have this thing called blockchain technology, which they use as an authenticator, which is basically the digital signature. It's on the blockchain technology. So that's pretty much what it comes down to. And obviously you guys can go and get something that's really factually accurate, but that's really what people are looking at. Valerie's asking, is it digital work only, or can it be a picture of your art?
It can be a picture of your art if that picture is on a computer. It can't be the actual piece of artwork. It has to be able to exist, I guess, technically online. You buy them online. I wonder if you could do that, if you could make an NFT out of a folder or something like that. I don't actually know. But yes, you could do your own artwork as an NFT if you wanted to.
Neil says, so does that mean we can't download, copy, paste, etc., an object with an NFT? No, you can do it all you want. You can exchange all of these pictures, because here's the thing that is so unique about this situation that I think is a big game changer, is an NFT, if you buy an NFT, it does not necessarily mean the buyer acquires the copyright or even sole access. So you've got a digital image, you have paid $69.3 million for that 2100 pixel JPEG, and yet people can still get it online. I can download that.
Basically what that means, or to put it into more concrete terms, you are buying a little card that says, or a certificate of authenticity that says that this object is yours. We have in the past critiqued that banana duct tape artwork. And that piece, you didn't buy the banana is gonna rot. What you bought was a certificate of rights, basically, for that image or that concept. And so in this case, you're doing something really similar. You are buying this ownership ticket thing, basically, that is attached to that single JPEG. And when you copy that JPEG, it doesn't copy with it.
We have a question here from Neil, follow up. So if I buy an artwork with an NFT, I get a JPEG pic. Seems weird to spend huge money on a JPEG that will just live in my phone alongside crappy pictures and screenshots.
So this is an interesting question reaction that's come up a lot in the art world as part of this. People are really outraged about it. They say, oh, artwork is meant to be looked at. It's meant to live in your house and be appreciated. This can't do that. But if we're talking about the top market where this is happening, where collectors are, and there are NFT collectors that are buying these NFTs, there are also collectors that buy paintings, and these paintings don't go in houses. They go in warehouses, in the dark, in their little boxes. They don't actually get shown anywhere. That's like a huge amount of the artwork that's made and sold in the world. So you can think of it more of a place to store your money as an investment, kind of, especially on the high, high art end.
I mean, I feel a little conflicted, Lauren, because to be honest, I really don't like the Beeple artwork. If you guys go in and you look at it more carefully, I think what was sort of brilliant actually on Beeple's end is that he sold a gigantic mosaic, basically, of all of those images. And so if we go back and we look at that gigantic mosaic, nobody really looks that carefully at each individual image, because you can't. And some people have. There's an art news article that's in the YouTube video description below. It is a journalist who actually did go through and look at the individual images. But I think by doing that, he got away with a lot, because there are a lot of images in the Beeple piece that we couldn't put into the stream, because otherwise YouTube totally would have taken it down. And so I don't like the work, but I'm actually thinking this is sort of a big deal for digital artists. And I think giving them the chance to get the respect that I think they deserve.
Yeah, it's a really great cross between the marketplace and what is considered highbrow and what is considered lowbrow. I have to say, Clara, that you can have whatever opinion you want about this artwork, but I really dislike this idea that it is so much different from, say, traditional artwork. Even in the content that's in it, there are plenty of painters that I see that are represented by huge galleries that have similar content in their paintings, but they're just paintings, painted objects, instead of this digital thing. So I think that this bias is always playing around in our heads that physical objects, things that we can exchange and have or are aware of this commerce with, that they are of a higher level than things that are in new media and digital. And that is really, really horrible for people that work digitally. They're not taken seriously by the art world, as you said. They can't make the same kind of money off of their work as a traditional media artist. And the really cool thing about NFTs is not only they level that playing field a little bit, but also every time an NFT gets sold to someone else, the artist that originally made the NFT gets royalties off of it. They get something like 10% every time it is sold to another person. So they can take advantage of that secondary market in a way that traditional artists have not been able to. When you see something that sells at Christie's for $69 million, if it's traditional media, that artist that made that piece is not getting a single penny of that money, usually speaking.
And it's a problem, because in the auction world, it's called flipping. So basically, you have these artworks that are like hot and really big, and people will buy them just so they can resell like immediately. And it's an issue, because you can, as an artist, you give it to the auction house or whatever the process is. And then once it's sold, that's it. You're never going to see a penny, no matter how many times that painting gets resold. And so the NFT situation, I actually think from an artist point of view, is sort of amazing, and really giving artists a degree of ownership in the digital realm that they've never had before. So I don't like Beeple's work, but I think it's definitely opened a huge space for people that wasn't there before. And then the other thing is the gatekeeping that you mentioned. I don't like Beeple's work, and there's some stuff that he said that I don't like either, but it's kind of awesome that somebody who's not in the white cube art world sold this work at Christie's.
Yeah, it's a little bit reminiscent, Clara, of some of that stuff that, say, happened with Reddit and GameStop, where there's this meme culture, meme capitalism thing going on, where you can game these systems that are generally exclusive to people that are insiders. So in the stock market, that is these people that run hedge funds, for instance, they have all this inside knowledge and they went to school for this and all that. And then in the art world, you have these people that have gone and gotten their MFAs and are academics and like work with the commercial galleries and have their little club. And this exists outside of that. Well, supposedly, I mean, Christie's got into this and there's already a hierarchy happening, but it opens more options, I think, is the thing that people are really excited about.
Office Space is saying, my question is whether traditional painters will enjoy NFTs for getting more attention to their works. Like, it will be fun to attend a museum of NFTs someday. I don't know. I mean, the jury's still out for that. We're going to have to just wait and see exactly what's going to happen. I suspect that it's not really going to be that separate. I sort of am picturing that I go to a contemporary art show. There's a painting here. There's an installation there. There's an NFT over here. That's what I'm envisioning. But of course, I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure about what the future will actually look like in terms of that. I think that there is maybe more motivation to get into this kind of thing since the pandemic, when physical galleries aren't open and physical artworks are difficult to see. I have seen a lot of galleries revert to either not having a space at all and doing all projects or just having these online shows. And I can see this melding well with an online show because the NFTs are a part of that online culture and they only exist on your computer. So that makes a lot of sense. I don't understand necessarily how that would translate to a physical space, but who knows? Who knows?
Jing Jing says, isn't there some sort of environmental thing to all of this? There is. So there are a lot of concerns people are making about the environmental impact because this London engineer, Memo Acton, he basically explained it, saying that the network of computers that you need to run the blockchain infrastructure, the electricity that actually gets generated, one transaction, okay, so one time Lauren buys that cat, okay, is equivalent to a European resident's electric power consumption for 4 days. That's a lot. And yeah. I've heard this argument that, well, what if a museum wants to ship a sculpture across the world, that takes up all of that consumption. But this is a little different because of the scale that it can happen at.
Yeah, I think that there is potentially an issue with the, I'm going to say the exponentiality of it a little bit, where a lot of these sales are going to be happening a lot, and these exchanges are meant to be happening a lot in order for this market to stay hot and people to make money from it. And every time one of these things gets sold or a new NFT gets put on the market and then gets sold, you are having that environmental impact. And some people have gotten into the carbon offset money that they're putting towards. But in general, I feel like it might be an unsustainable solution for monetizing digital art. And I also just don't know how blockchain will survive in the future if we want to have a planet that is livable over a long period of time.
Well, I also want to say that because of Beeple, oh, wow, a whole bunch of people just jumped right on top of this as quickly as they possibly could. And actually, Lauren, I sort of love this one. Who here knows John Cleese? He hasn't been as hot lately, but he was in Monty Python and he's this British comedian. He did all these TV shows and everything like that. So I read the other day in the New York Times that he has joined the digital art market frenzy. And he's got this drawing of a bridge. And on OpenSea, one of the NFT marketplaces, he writes, this bridge can be yours for $69 million. Now, anybody that knows John Cleese, I mean, it's so clear that he's totally making fun of this whole situation. But then there's people like Damien Hirst, who was just like right there in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's surprised by Damien Hirst. He's the shark guy. Of course he's going to do this, right?
He's the shark guy. I love this piece by Damien Hirst. I don't know about his NFT stuff, but his early work was okay.
Well, and so he's jumping on that as well. He says that the work he's doing with NFTs is like, oh, it's the most exciting thing I've done. And I mean, part of me is annoyed by just all the hype that the media is doing right now. But I sort of think when it settles down, it might actually be a really positive development in the art world. I think it might level the playing field a little bit, because honestly, I'm just so tired of the elitism.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, Clara, because every time we get something like this, I feel like it tends to replicate systems that we already have and that we already know. And this, so we're bringing NFTs into the art market, but eventually doesn't that just mean it's going to become the art market, which is full of all the gatekeeping and these inequalities, and some artists get a ton of money like Beeple, but then others who are just not very well known get nothing?
Well, I mean, that's why I think the hype is not helping right now, because people think that, oh, if I get on this, I'm going to be at Christie's too. I mean, Beeple's just one instance. I don't know that this is going to keep up all the time. I mean, Lisa in the chat says the $69 million makes it seem fishy. A price which better matches the value would make me less suspicious. But the thing is, though, how would you say how much that's valued? I mean, there's stuff in museums that's valued for millions and millions, and we've all heard the "my kid could do that" argument. And I don't know, I think digital artists get a bad rap. I think a lot of people assume that their work doesn't take as much work when it takes just as much, if not more.
I think, Clara, that we should also contextualize Beeple a little bit. He wasn't just some nobody that suddenly made millions of dollars from Christie's doing NFTs. That's not what happened. Prior to this, he was doing work for like Lady Gaga. He was doing music videos for big name people, and had a following of, I believe it was several million people on Instagram. He's not no one. And so when you are in that position, you have people, you probably have a pretty large network of rich and powerful people that is already interested in your work or that you're friends with. And so that's how these prices get generated so crazy into millions of dollars.
I want to give a shout out to RB Dick. Thank you so much for the super sticker. We greatly appreciate your support. I mean, I'd rather get $69 million, but we will definitely take
it. I will take the super sticker. We don't want to sell out through a Christie's auction, Clara. Come on.
We greatly appreciate your support. Anything you guys can contribute is so important to us to keep our content 100% free and accessible. Well, let me tell you guys a little about Beeple, because there's a couple of things that I think are important. First of all, he's 39. He lives in South Carolina. And the only art training that he ever had was he took some art classes in high school. He studied computer science, and he got started making short films, GIFs, looping animations. And yeah, I mean, he eventually started doing all these gigs, and he actually first started selling NFTs on Nifty Gateway, which is one of the big marketplaces. And he did sell the complete MF collection for $777,000. I mean, that's not $69 million, but that's not nothing. I mean, man, we could like run Art Prof on that amount of money.
Yeah, I think that I think if we could generate that amount of money, we would be totally set. But so I guess these images that he'd been making, he's had a lot of experience using these these 3D kinds of programs. And I guess anybody that has even a little bit of experience using them, it gets pretty easy, right, Clara? He's able to do these like all the time. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, digital artwork is very different, I think, in terms of the accessibility. Like, phone. But then part of me also argues a way to share art with a larger population instead of letting it sit in museum storage.
For sure, for sure. I think that there's this idea that art has to be, you have to have a lot of blood and sweat for it to be valid and that it can't be replicable. But we have things like screen printing and Andy Warhol and zines and all of that that are also extremely important and valid and you can make tons of and share very widely. And so I think digital art falls a little bit under that populism, I think, as well.
Bacon, what you need to know about the NFT is, if you're the author, creator, artist, can you sell the physical art or just the digital version of that? For example, does the physical art worn?
Wow, I'm not sure about that, actually. I know that in the traditional art world, if you make prints of something, then that does mean that I think that the original might have a little less value. It's a little bit of a gray area, so I don't actually know what that means for, say, selling an NFT version of your work. I would probably, my gut feeling is to treat it kind of like a print, especially because you can, I think, make multiple NFTs for one artwork and collect. So you could, say, create almost a set of baseball cards out of them and say, I have 25 NFTs attached to 25 copies of this one image, and then you sell that for a certain amount of money. So that's where I stand on it, I think.
I mean, I think it's equivalent to printmaking, where if you have an edition of prints and there's 100 copies, those prints are not going to be as valuable as if it was an edition of 5 prints. And I know for printmakers, oftentimes what they will do is they will print an edition, then they'll take the plate and they'll actually chop up the plate on purpose so that nobody else can make more of that print. So I suspect it might be some version of that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns that are here. And it just seems like, Lauren, we have to just wait for this to just play out and figure things out as they come up. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think we'll have to watch and wait, especially since this is part of that meme culture capitalism we just talked about, which is extremely volatile. It's all about things getting really, really hot, really viral, very, very expensive and inflated for a short period of time before dropping off. So things could change even within a week as far as what people think about NFTs and what the value of some NFTs are. We just don't know.
Here's a comment from Ananin. I respect digital art, but I'm worried about the future of traditional art. That's interesting because I'm not. I'm like, you know what? We've been painting a long time. It still hasn't gone away. And I feel like every 10 years, there's a death of painting article in some magazine. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I think it's important to think about the kinds of power structures that like traditional art to exist. I'd say digital art is very much the underdog, and this is kind of a first win, but this is a long game, and painting and sculpture and things like that have been around and have been monetized and have been exported places for a very, very, very long time, like thousands of years kind of long. So I am for digital art on this point, just because I think it doesn't take away from traditional art doing its thing.
Well, that's how I've always felt about digital art. It's just another tool. It's like we have this big set of tools. Oh, here's another hammer. Cool. Now we got another way to do things.
I just want to bring up this comment here from Office Space, and they want some Goose NFTs. So I am going to get on that, and I will let you know when I have a Goose NFT for you. I think I will specifically make an image and just mint one just once, just to do it, and then you guys can all have the geese.
Well, here's the thing. Let's twist this around and talk about it from a buyer point of view, because of course, as artists, we're going to think about the artist point of view. Honestly, I can't see myself ever paying money for an NFT. Do you think you would?
It depends. I think that my digital life at this point is, I don't think of the digital world as an accessory to the real world anymore. I think that that is how we commonly think of things, but think about social media, about our jobs, about how we make art and how we communicate, especially in the past year. But I think in general, we've been trending towards having a life that is very much enmeshed with our screens, and that has become a world too that we live in. And so I could see, say, having a small collection of NFTs in the same way that I have a small collection of paintings in my house, especially from digital artists that I like and want to support.
A Phoenix says, the difference from you making a copy of an original in the NFT space is this: the original digital piece has a proof of authenticity. When you make a copy, it has no value, like the Mona Lisa versus a copy. I like that you brought that up, because I think that also brings up, okay, what's the difference in terms of our interaction with a digital art piece and a physical artwork? Because I think Neil had said earlier, oh, well, it's just in my phone. You know what's terrible, Lauren? I think I interact with the pictures on my phone more than the artwork in my house.
Yeah.
I'm a little horrified to admit that, but it's true.
No, I've felt this way too, Clara, where I look at Instagram and look at shows that are happening through Instagram more than I actually go to the in-person physical shows. And part of this, I know, is because of the pandemic, but also a large part of it is about time and place. And it's really much easier for me to see work that I like on my phone than to see it in person a lot of the times. And I'd rather see it once on my screen than not see it at all.
But that said, when I do interact with physical work in my home, it's a very different interaction. I don't do it as often, but I do notice things that maybe I don't take as much time to appreciate in a phone. A phone is just so small. So physically speaking, I have artworks in my house that are much bigger and that I've lived with for a very long time. I feel like it's apples and oranges. I don't think that one is better. I think it just depends on who you are. And I don't know. I mean, like, my mom does not interact on Instagram. Like, for her, an NFT is probably useless. But maybe for somebody else, it's better and more accessible than a painting.
Liam brings up a great comment here. Normalize going back to the art galleries. # London galleries are failing. And I do want to say that the NFT situation is actually great for galleries right now. It actually makes it possible for them to monetize the digital artwork. And when there's COVID happening, that just gives another avenue. It's another world, as we've talked about.
FunMe says, in my opinion, NFTs are taking art in a bad direction. With NFT, the value of art isn't the art itself, but the creation of exclusivity. Yeah, obviously capitalism exists and artists have to eat, but I'm an idealist. There's a lot of parts to this. And I think depending on who you are and what you stand to gain or not gain really does affect the way that we see that. And I'm going to give a shout out to Amaris Joseph. Thank you so much for the super chat. We greatly appreciate your support in anything. Yeah, like M. Pratt says, agreed. It will not replace real art. But see, that's the thing, Lauren, is every time something new comes along, people get upset that, oh, it's going to take everything away. It's not. You're just adding more to the pot.
And I do want to say too that I think that digital art is also real art. We're talking about things that are in different mediums but still exist, still take an artist to create. There's exploitation in both arenas, both in traditional art and in digital art, you know. And also Jeff Koons, for instance, doesn't make any of his art anymore. He has people in a shop that make his art. So there are just lots of different ways. One does not eat the other up. Capitalism is meshed in all of it. And until we live in a society where we can make our money and then still be able to make our art, these things are imperfect and we have to use them in any way that benefits us.
Fab Geek says, if it's about investments, I can't see myself buying NFTs. I'd rather buy paintings to hang on my wall that I can touch. But see, here's the thing, Lauren, okay? I never buy artwork, ever. I can't remember the last time I paid money for artwork. Now, sometimes, really? Yeah, I think it's because I'm an artist. And so I just get stuff. Like, people
that's
just
so
give
weird.
Me work.
That's
what,
so
do you
weird.
Buy artwork?
I buy artwork all the time.
Really?
And I don't even have that much money. It's really bad. I'll trade often for art too, but I buy artwork. And I think that as an artist, as a painter, that doesn't make a whole lot of, is just another starving artist, you know? I think that it is a really important sign of respect for other artists to be able to pay them for their work and then have their work in your house. So you can see some work on my art right now. Actually, both of these things, I think, were trades or one I bought from a thrift shop. But most things in my apartment are works that I have bought from someone else.
Man, I feel like a jerk. Like, I'm not buying more artwork. I guess because I have a lot of students who give me their stuff. And
yeah.
I just feel like if I bought artwork, I'd have no wall space. And I mean, I have no wall space.
You live in a house now that has so much wall space.
Yeah, only because I haven't unpacked yet. That's the only reason we have wall space. So I want to call attention to this question from Slutnir. The big question, what about other people taking images of other artists' work and profiting from this?
Ooh.
It is really easy to steal stuff now.
That's a great question. I really don't know. And I would love if you guys on the Discord either brought up some cases of this that we could look into, or I will look some stuff up after this. I am absolutely sure that it's already happened, and I don't know how that plays out.
I'm sure it's happened, although I don't think you can definitely depend on this. I am very surprised, Lauren, how fast people get caught now for ripping things off, because mm-hmm. we had an artwork that was submitted to us and somebody told me, they're like, hey, I saw you posted, you're critiquing this work on Instagram and it's from this. So they sent me the link. I was like, oh my gosh, that's happened more than once. And so I have to say, I'm impressed, I guess, by how often people are caught, as opposed to say before the internet, when I'm sure it didn't happen much.
Right. But what if someone mints something using Nifty or something like that, that is another artist's artwork, and then manages to sell it or sell a bunch of copies of it? What if that artist doesn't have the money to sue the person that minted it? Like, what do you do?
Well, this is interesting. So Bacon Candy says, about copyright, let's say you're the artist posting it on your social media, then someone stole your artwork and made an NFT version of it. Can you dispute the NFT? So this stream that I did with Greg Kanon, he's a lawyer, and we asked him a lot of these questions. I mean, this is a little bit alarming, Lauren, but the way he put it, he said, anybody can sue for anything. And I was like, wow, I never thought about the law that way. But he did offer some options. And one thing that was interesting that never occurred to me, he said, go to them and tell them, hey, we can work something out. Give me a cut of the money and maybe I'll leave you alone. I was like, wow, I never thought about that as an option. Some people shame on social media. That has been effective
yep.
in some situations. I don't think that you have no options. Yes, hiring a lawyer is expensive. Not everybody can do that. But there are other things you can do. Do you think?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it depends also, though, what your social power is and what their social power is, because you can only really shame someone if you have a following that's big enough to do the shaming for you, because this is all about numbers, right? One
Right.
person saying, "Oh, you stole my thing," that doesn't have the same impact as 100,000 people all commenting and bombarding your Twitter or Instagram or something like that, saying, "You stole this." And similarly, if you're an artist that's, say, going up against a company that stole your artwork or your design or something like that, a lot of the times they'll just brush you off because they have a lot more power of all types than you do.
Soytenlee says, up until recently, people didn't value digital art, but if you look at the digital art community, it's huge. It was only a matter of time before it gained value. I'll tell you, Lauren, I feel for people that have been trying to get traction in digital art because it is a huge world. But I think when you
Yeah.
take it outside of the huge world to the general population, there is this assumption about digital work that, oh, that took 2 seconds to make. Like Jordan told me, he's had people say to him, oh, you made that in Photoshop. That probably took no time.
Yeah,
He's like, dude.
I've seen that all the time. I've seen that all the time, and it's so unfair. It makes me so angry. Because also that's harmful for any artist, not just digital artists. It really affects any artist. I had this thought for a long period of time that I had to, say, draw every individual piece of a pattern instead of, say, using a template to spray it in or something, because only things that are hand done and not copied are valued. And that comes from that same thing where digital, it's not the hand, it's a computer's doing it. People like don't value that labor. It is a myth. It's a joke.
Yeah, and I wish that people would see that more, but that's what makes me think that maybe with NFTs, this is the shift people need to understand. Hey, this has as much value as something that is handmade. I mean, it's handmade in a very different way.
For sure. For sure. We have a super chat from Anon and Anon for $4.99. Thank you so much for giving us these super stickers. Really great that you guys support us.
And by the way, because there's so much to unpack, we have many other streams about plagiarism, copyright, inspiration. All of this is related. And honestly, with the NFT thing, we just have to see how it plays out. I think we just have to wait for different scenarios to come to surface for us to see what happens. ArtProf has a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. And in a few minutes, Lauren and I will be hanging out in the ArtProf Discord. We will be in the post live streams channel. Please come hang out with us there. We always have a lot of fun. And the invite link is in the YouTube video description below. Come hang out with us. Subscribe to our channel so you can continue to grow and develop as an artist. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters. These contributions, the super stickers, anything you guys give us, you are basically providing access to art education for somebody on the planet who can't afford it. And Lauren, look, column
We
three.
have a third column and it's growing. This is so crazy to me. It seemed like just yesterday I was talking about filling that first column there.
It's amazing. So,
Thank
everybody, thank you
you.
so much for your support. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.